My name is Robert H. Smalley, MD. I was almost 22. I was 21, almost 22. Class of 1962, Plan 2, pre-med. We had a counselor who had some issues and had to be discharged, and Charlie was put in his place in my room. That was about the middle of the semester, roughly. I'm not real sure on the dates. We're all dorm counselors, which meant basically we kept the quiet till 10 o'clock, and then I believe about once a week we would pull office duty and sort mail and do things of that nature and answer the phone. He was chosen by the Navy to get a bachelor's degree, and in turn he would pay back time, service time. What they were really trying to do is to get good first-rate enlisted men and make them lifers. I was extremely impressed. He was a poster boy for the Navy. He was a very courteous gentleman, very kind, always had his side of the room cleaned, always pulled his share of the duty. He was an impeccable co-counselor. In fact, if my father had not had a heart attack that summer after I graduated from college, I was going to go to his and Kathy's wedding. I thought that much of them. He was a very intelligent, very handsome man. Conducted himself impeccably, had the qualifications for the Navy to send him back to from the fleet to school. In short, he was the perfect counselor. Where you're leading is, did I see any symptoms? And the answer is no. He was a poster boy for the military. Short, blonde hair, crew cut, blue eyes, well physical condition, extremely polite. Conducted himself in a manner that you'd like to have your son conduct. I've thought about this for years and years, and the answer is I cannot figure out what triggered this. Kathy was a beautiful, poised, intelligent young lady. She and Charlie were basically engaged at that time. Perfect mate for Charlie. You want me to get to the real issue? Charlie had a bad habit of going to the Villa Capri and getting in card games with people whose last names ended in a vowel. And he would bounce $600, $700, and $800 checks to these people, and they took umbrage at it, and they came looking for him, and we had to hide him out. He never brought any alcoholic beverages into the dorm. He never smoked. He never used drugs. Of course, 50 years ago, that wasn't such a thing, but I never saw him, let us say, take amphetamines, any type of barbiturate, any type of sedative, any type of mind-altering medication whatsoever. He never smoked anything. He had no bad habits except gambling. He killed his mother and his wife. And I think that this was an acute paranoid schizophrenic reaction. Well, I was shocked. The only thing I could possibly think of, and the autopsy would have found it, is some type of habituating drug, LSD, methamphetamine. If I were to put my bet, it'd be one of those two drugs, LSD or methamphetamines. In fact, the more I think about it, the more I think this was a drug-induced acute psychosis. It's the only logical explanation I can come up with. This was a drug-induced acute psychosis. This was a very carefully planned mass murder. And by definition, you have to be prepared to give up your life if you're going to do this. And I never thought he was suicidal. I thought he had his whole life to live for. I was a junior in medical school. I had been married for over a year. And my wife and I were watching television at, of course, the local Dallas station where I went to med school. And they gave a list of the dead, and of course, W, and I said, poor old Charlie got killed. I was that shocked. And I got a call from the Dallas Morning News. Within about 2 days, they published an article in the newspaper, if you want to research it out during that time period. And they basically says, we know you room with Charlie, will you do a story? And I said, yes, under the promise that my name will not be used. And they kept their word. And so they came out and interviewed me, and that should be in the Dallas Morning News somewhere in that time period. Because I remember using the quote, he's the kind of guy you'd take home to meet your mother. Now, I want to go back a little bit. I am very well trained in psychiatry, even though I'm not a practicing psychiatrist. All right? Charlie never had a weapon in his room of any kind. I never heard him make one remark, any racial epithet, any remarks against women, any remarks against anybody. I never heard the man swear. I never heard him open up the blinds on our window looking out over Guadalupe and saying, that would be an easy shot. No, never joked about anything like that. Never mentioned the word. I never saw him do one violent thing, period, or make any violent comments or make any gender-based or racial-based remarks or dislikes or prejudices or anything. I think it was a real Charlie. It was not an act. Let's talk about the occipital glioma. There is no way that that altered his mood. First of all, it wasn't that big, and it was not in part of the brain that controlled emotions. It was in the occipital lobe, I believe it was on the right side. That had really nothing to do with anything. It would have killed him in 6 months, however. I haven't read the autopsy per se, but I've heard from awfully good sources. It was an occipital glioma. It's one of the more aggressive ones. They are not radiosensitive, and they are not radiocurable.